It's my great pleasure to be here with all of you this afternoon here in Detroit, infamous or famous as the Motor City. I like to remember Detroit as the place that I began my Christian consciousness. Actually, specifically, it was Ann Arbor, where I met the devotees for the very first time. So this city and this area has a special importance to me. Many nice memories. Of course, as the years go on, the memory fades. But these type of memories, actually, Krishna conscious memories, they remain very deeply impressed in the heart, as they should be, because they're transcendental. And we're hoping that when that day comes and we leave this mortal frame, that one of these memories will be at the forefront of our consciousness. Because Krishna says in Gita, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tiyajati antukalevaram, that whatever mentality we have developed, whatever is at the forefront of our mind, whatever is the focus at the moment of death, verily that state we will attain. So if we've lived a life of Krishna consciousness from the beginning to the end, then it's more or less assured we'll remember Krishna when we die. Of course, these children, they have an advantage on us because they were conceived in a Krishna conscious mentality. While in the womb, mother was reading Bhagavatam, going to the temple, kirtan was going on, the children in the womb were receiving the prasad, and when they were born, there may have very well been the loud chanting of Hare Krishna, because Prabhupada said that the process of birth is a little painful for the mothers. I don't know, ladies, you have to... So generally when a devotee is in distress, they call out to Krishna. So, and then the shamskaras, various purificatory rites. So really the children have no excuse not to become Krishna conscious in this lifetime. We have a little excuse. Not that we want to hold on to that excuse. You could say that that day that we come in contact with the devotees and take up Krishna consciousness in earnest, that's the most important day since we left the spiritual world. In our sojourn through the material world, Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhakivan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lad Bij. We have information that it's not a mystery what was before this life and what is maybe after this life. There's no questions left unanswered in Krishna consciousness. This philosophy is so complete. Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhakivan Jeev. Since we left the kingdom of God, since we left the spiritual sky, since we left Vaikuntha, that place where there's no anxiety, what have we been doing? Transmigrating from one species of life to the next, and one body to the next, in the false pursuit of material happiness. But when we come in contact with the devotees and we begin our, it's like an about face, you could say, turn around. We turn over a new leaf and we begin to take up Krishna consciousness, one of the nine processes or combination. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, any one or combination, revives our dormant sense of Krishna consciousness, and we gradually start on the path back home, back to Godhead. Oh, happy days, they say. You're falling, and then you come in contact with some spiritual tradition, hopefully Krishna consciousness, you meet the devotees, you meet your spiritual master, you take initiation, your deliverance is assured. In due course of time, you seriously practice Krishna consciousness, you go through the various stages of purification. Anatta Nivritti, the heart becomes freed of all material desires. You develop some bhav, some prema, and then you're back to Godhead. So what does that look like? It looks like a smile. You're falling, but your turning point is when you come in contact with Krishna consciousness, and then it's up to you how you complete the second part, the journey upwards. And this is a smile. So this is happy day. So these two things, actually, are entrance into this life and our departure. These are very mysterious things. It captures everyone's attention. When we come into this world and when we leave this world. When we come into this world, everyone crowds around the newborn baby. Oh, look, how cute he is, how cute she is. Fascinated, where has he come from? What will he be like? We call him the astrologer, and according to the exact moment of birth, the hour, the minute, the second, the millisecond, Vedic science is so exact that you can practically predict every detail of that child's future. Of course, nowadays, such astrologers are rare. But a genuine Jyotish who's well-versed in the scriptures, who's a little bit of that siddhi, a little bit mystic power. It's not just book learning, but there's some siddhi there. He can say, and then therefore he'll recommend a name. If it's a boy and he's going to be very courageous and very strong and responsible, I'll give him the name Yudhishthir. Or if he looks like he's going to be big boy, he favors the prasad, like Bhima. Bhima, one of the five Pandava brothers. Draupadi was there and Kunti was there. When they would gather their food in the forest, when they were in exile, the food would be put on the table, and Bhima, he would get half of what was there. And the rest of the family would get the leftovers. But that was enough for them. Bhim Sen. So if we see the boy's going to be big, he's going to be like a warrior. He's going to protect the innocent members of society from the asuras. He's going to protect the ladies, the children, the cows, the Brahmins, the old people, who are often exploited by the demoniac class of people. If he's going to be a genuine Kshatriya, then the astrologer will say, give him the name Bhimasen. And if it's a young girl with noble qualities, she's very shy, she's very chaste, devoted to her husband, devoted to her guru, devoted to Krishna, we'll give her the name Andropadi. Like that. Very exact. So everyone comes around when someone enters. Where have they come from? Generally, astrologers can tell the future. A little more difficult to tell the past. They don't really. These days in Kali Yuga, I don't know if anyone can really say what is the past. So we're all wondering, where have they come? Everyone's talking. Kuchi, kuchi, la, la, la. We're fascinated by our entrance onto the stage. And then we live our life, and then when we die, everyone crowds around again. Goodbye. Or maybe goodbye. Thinking of the inheritance, the bank account. Where will they go? You go according to your activities in this life, according to your desires that you develop at the moment of death. But still, it remains a mystery. So we're fascinated by the entering the stage and exiting the birth and death. These things are mysterious. Of course, not so mysterious for the learned, because they know what's happening. Therefore, there's no fear at death. If you don't know something, you're afraid of it. If you know about it, you may not be so afraid. Prabhupada said, there's only two people who are not afraid of death. The fool and the pure devotee. The fool because he's in ignorance, and the pure devotee because he knows exactly what's happening. He has knowledge, vidya. Dehinosmin tadehe kovanam yovanam jara tatati antaras paptir dhiras tatara namuyanti. As the embodied soul passes from the body of a baby to a boy, to a youth, to an old man, the soul passes into another body at death. But the last line is very significant for us. Dhiras tatara namuyanti. Dhira means to be sober. The self-realized soul, he's not bewildered by such a change. He's very sober. It's only a change of body. And because he's used his life properly in a pious, spiritual, religious way, then his favorable birth is guaranteed. Or if he's perfected, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabaha, if he's fully surrendered to Krishna, he goes to Krishna. He's not lamenting. A sadhu doesn't lament when he leaves his body. Just like you're going to go home tonight, and you're going to take off these clothes, and you're going to put on your pajamas. You're not going to say, oh no, I have to take off these clothes, oh God help me, I have to put on my pajamas. No, it's a normal change. So for sadhu, one is learned in scripture, the change of body is no big thing. Especially because the destination is favorable. It's to be lamented if you've misused your life. Misused, it means if you've used it for anything other than the ultimate pursuit of Krishna consciousness. Atato brahma janasya. What is the business of human life? Now that we've come to the human form of life, now's the time to inquire. Kami, who am I? Where am I going at death? What is God? What is my relationship with God? This is the real business of life. So if you've done that, if you haven't put off your homework, if you haven't fooled around your whole life, like kids, they put off their homework, they go play baseball or cricket. And then when the final exam comes, their mind's a blank. So if we're just all life enjoying or trying to enjoy, and we put off the real business of self-realization, the mind will be blank at the moment of death, and our destination is a question mark. So these two things are fascinating, coming in and going out. We're more interested in the coming in because we don't want to think about going out. But neither can you ignore it. In this country, you have to do two things. You have to pay your taxes, and you have to die. Now, who here is getting away with not paying their taxes? Politicians. No, you're not going to raise your hand, because there's an IRS inspector here in the audience, and he paid me $100 to ask that question to all of you. I couldn't trick you. Maybe Al Capone, but that's what they got him on in the end, right? Into jail. Everyone has to die. We don't like to think about it. We're like the ostrich that when the hunter comes, she digs a hole in the sand and she puts her head in there and pretends the hunter's not there. We can't do like that. It's going to catch up sometime. Hopefully, in some years from now, in your 70s, 80s. In America now, I think the life expectancy for a man is something around 75 or 76. But time goes by very quick. The moment will arrive. Time and tide wait for no man. And will you be ready? Will you be prepared to think of Krishna? Oh yes, I'll just fool around, and then when that moment comes, Hare Krishna. Not necessarily like that. In death, everything goes in reverse. It's very hard. If we just bump our head, we forget everything, but the swear words we're saying. We don't think of God. So what to speak when the soul is being forced out of the body? It's not a pleasant experience. You have to be prepared. The Boy Scouts, they say, be prepared. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says like that one's japa, or one's bhajan, will be tested at the moment of death. we're sitting in the temple and we're sitting very nicely and chanting and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. And people are looking at me, I'm a good chanter. But the real test is that when you die, as a result of practicing, you can fix your mind. I see a few of you look pretty discouraged there. Don't worry, if you try your whole life, then God will also help you. When Ramanujacharya, the great Acharya of the Sri Sampradaya, he asked Ranganath, the deity of Sri Rangam, he said, Sir, what happens if your devotee cannot remember you at the moment of death? We're trying, we want to be conscious of God at the moment of death because that guarantees punarjanma nividyate. We never take birth again. But my friend, who's a doctor, he said that 75% of the people are unconscious when they die. We have any doctors in the house? We have any doctors? You don't have to be afraid. You can raise them, isn't it? Many people, most people are actually unconscious. The body goes into kind of automatic pilot and the pain is so great you shut off and... Ramanuja asks, Sir, Thakurji, what if your bhakta, who's his whole life, he's given to you singing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, defending you, surrendering to you? What if by a quirk of nature, he's fallen off a cliff or off his horse or he's diseased? What if he can't remember you at the moment of death? What will happen, Lord? So, Ranganath, the deity, replied, if my devotee cannot remember me at the moment of death, I will remember my devotee. This is our assurance. But still, we can't. The onus is on us through our practice to try to remember Krishna. So you could say that the moment of death is the most important moment in your life. What? No, it's when I took birth. It's when I graduated with honors from Wayne State University. See, I remember. No, it's when I got married. No, it's when I got divorced. No. Hare Krishna. There's no divorce. Those may be significant moments, but really, when a death is the most significant, because that determines where you're going for another set of 60, 70 years. So you want to make sure that destination is as good as it can be. Of course, best thing is not to take birth again. But that's not an option for most people. If we have to take birth again as devotees, we don't want to take birth again. We want to finish up in this life. But if we want to take birth again, what birth do you want? Bill Gates? Barack Obama? No, he's our president. You want to be a very wealthy Sikh in the Middle East? No. What type of birth? If we had to take birth, what birth would we like to have? Tava yoginam eva kule bhavanti di matam etadi drulabhataram loke janma yat idrisham, Krishna says in Gita. Or he, the unsuccessful yogi, one who has not perfected his Krishna consciousness, he takes birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Such a birth, durlabham taram, Krishna says, such a birth is very rare in this world. To take birth as family of transcendentalists, like our children. We're all the children. Fine. This young boy, he stay. What is your name?
Nandasuno.
Who's your father? Papa? And mama? Yes, they've trained this boy well. With all due respect, all the children are out playing. How old are you?
Eight.
Eight. What were you doing when you were 8? Playing with red fire engines. Beating up your sister. Playing cricket. He's here listening. It's not that he's going to get a cookie after the class. He's trying to assimilate. This is a rare birth. He took birth in a family of devotees. It's not by chance. Here in Detroit, when Prabhupada came, I remember, 1971, he came to visit the temple at 8311 East Jefferson. It's one address I always remember. I'm terrible with numbers, but 8311. When I'm trying to go through the pearly gates and God asks me, "Where have you come from?" 8311 East Jefferson, sir. Hare Krishna Temple, Detroit, circa 1970. Prabhupada came to the temple, and when he was coming into the temple room, one of my god sisters, Krishna Bhamani, she was the wife of the temple president, Bhagavan Das, she had her little son in her arms like this, named Vaishnav Das. I just saw him again after so many years. He's a 40-year-old businessman. I saw him in Seattle, very nice devotee. So he was a little baby, and he had the kartals, and the kirtan was roaring, and he was holding the kartals. He's like 1.5. You can hardly grab them. But Prabhupada walked by. He went, "Oh." He stopped. He said, "So how is this boy playing these kartals?" And the mother was like, she couldn't speak. Prabhupada's right in front of her. And Prabhupada said, because this is carrying over from his past birth. Because he was devotee in past birth, now he's carrying on like this. He's Vaishnava. And she was just beaming. Like every mother wants their boy to be a ray of Vishnu. They don't want the clouds to get in the way. The ray of Vishnu. This is very heavy. So therefore, with these children, we have to take very good care of them. Of course, that's the natural inclination of the parent, the motherly love. But the extra added incentive is that these souls are not ordinary souls. Don't think of them as babies. You can think, if they're 4 years old, you can think 5 years ago they were some old sadhu with long gray beard in the Himalayas. Detroit, Michigan. And our responsibility is to make sure this is the last birth. Sometimes we're asked to give blessings on the birthday. Actually, we shouldn't so much celebrate the birthday. We should celebrate the initiation day, the second birth. We revive our dormant Krishna consciousness and begin our journey back to Godhead. But anyway, we like to honor the Vaishnavas. I always say, you know, may this be your last birth in this world. But the heavy responsibility for the parents, heavy responsibility. Responsibility is not fulfilled. It's not that you, like we think in a Hindu family, we get them born, we get them educated, we get them married. Right? If the boy's over 22, the mother's hair is, "My boy's not married yet." The girl's not married. "Oh, she's not." They get married. They get nice job, nice house in, where's the area where we live? Nice area of Detroit. Yeah, so someplace. Then our responsibility is finished. And they will take very nice care of me when I'm old. Agarwal and Sons. We have the Agarwal, but then the son comes. Agarwal and Sons, you do the business. I'm going now to just play cards. No, the responsibility is not fulfilled until the child is back home, back to Godhead. It's a graveness of... Therefore, Shastra says, Bhagavatam says, no one should become a demigod. No one should become a guru. No one should become a king. No one should become a parent. No one should become a teacher. Unless they're capable of delivering their dependents from the repetition of birth and death to the lotus feet of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Don't bother being a devata unless you can inspire a sense of Krishna consciousness in those who are dependent on you. Don't be a guru unless you can take your disciples back to Godhead. Not some mystic yogi, not some jnani. That's not. Only real guru is the Vaishnav guru, because he can deliver his disciple to perfection, the param gati, the supreme goal of life, beyond mystic powers, beyond merging in Brahman. Jivera supoya Krishnera nityadas. We're all eternal servants of Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna. Don't be a teacher unless you can teach some Bhagavad Gita in your classroom in Detroit grade schools. Don't be a parent just to have kids. I want a baby. That's the biological chemistry, that's the instinct. You want to have the child so that you can take the burden of love to deliver the child to Krishna. For that, you have to be first-class devotee. Because you cannot give what you don't have. So it's imperative that the parents are very advanced. And it's hard to be advanced at 19 or 20 or 21 or 22. I have to be very serious. And if you're in that mentality, then atava yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam etadi dulavam taram loke janma yad idrisham. Into the womb will come Pallari, his name?
Nandasuta.
Nandasuno Das Brahmachari. When it's time to play, he comes to hear the Bhagavatam. Like Maharaj Pariksit, when it was time to play, and boys, you know, how do they say, for girls it's sugar and spice and everything nice, for boys it's slugs and dogs and puppy dog snail, whatever, I don't remember. Slugs and snails and puppy dog tails. I don't think you know this is an American expression. Maharaj Pariksit, when it came time for him to play, he'd go into the deity room and offer arati to the deities. He'd dress the deities. He'd do bhajan for the deities. The test. So you please, everyone give applause for this young boy, your blessings. Now there's a tradition in India that when the sadhu visits the home of the village, that the people, they give the sannyasi anything he wants. But tonight I will take this boy with me. And he will be my servant. You're laughing. He who laughs first laughs last. Now I'll give you a few more years. I picked up Prahlad when he was 15. He came down for a vacation from the Govardhan, what's the place called? New Govardhan School in Australia. He came down for a vacation to Brisbane, and while he was on vacation, I said, "Would you like to travel with me?" "Wow, travel with a sannyasi all over the world." "Okay." I think I kidnapped him. Went back last year and they said, "You've got a big debt to this yatra, Indraduna Maharaj. We were priming this boy for so much preaching. But Nande will give you some years. You can, but you mark it. When your mommy asks you what you want to do when you grow up, you say, 'I'll travel with the swamis.'" That's what you like. And then you can sit here. I'll be old. I'll sit down there. But for most people, this is not an option, because the mind is full of so much garbage when they die. Yam yam vapi smarambhavam tyajati anta kalevaram tam tam eviti konteya saratad bhavabhavitaha. This is knowledge. This is nothing. This is a law which is not going to be changed by popular vote. It's not that the government is going to put it to the people to vote on yes or no. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. You can't change that. What happens is that your life comes before you like a stream of video. in the womb. You were there for 9 months and you became conscious at 7 months. That's when you start kicking, I want out of here. Right side boy, left side girl, in the middle, I don't want to say something, I don't. kicking out, I want out. Living entity becomes fully aware. He prays to God, please let me out this time, I promise I won't forget you. We take our birth, our infancy, our childhood, young adult, middle-aged, growing older, old age, death. When you die, just like you sit down and you put the video back to the beginning and you play, whatever, like you're watching, oh, stop there, I want to see that. Stop. No, I'm just making a... Linda, pay attention. Whatever you want to see, can you show that part again of the movie? So when you die, whatever you've done will come, and whatever you're most attached to, you'll be fixed. All right. Then movie's over. You go dark. If it's your husband, you take birth as a man. If it's your wife, you're born as a beautiful young lady. If it's your dog, woof, woof, woof. Our Jawaharlal Nehru, one astrologer said that when he died, I'm just repeating because Prabhupada said, he took birth as one of two dogs in a Swedish family. I don't know. Where are all the dogs coming from? They're coming from somewhere. But if you're going through it, oh, that kirtan, yes, that kirtan, Hare Krishna, Krishna. This is the value of always being engaged in devotional service. When Krishna was telling Arjuna the favorable and unfavorable moments that the yogi leaves this world. When the sun is in the northern course, it's very auspicious for leaving this world. When the sun is in its southern course, inauspicious, you'll come back. He was giving him different timings for the yogi to, because yogis, they can choose their moment of departure. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw his grandfather leave. He mentions in his autobiography. He was there when his grandfather left, and grandfather waited till all the relatives were there, and then, in front of everyone, he left, the skull left for the Brahmarandra, to this soft part of the skull, and the babies are born, there's that little hole. So when it comes together later, it's still a little soft. So the yogis, they propel the soul through the Brahmarandra to the higher planets, or to Vaikuntha, or to Goloka. He actually saw his father do that. Could choose the moment. So if you've practiced devotional service, if you've got a good amount of devotional service, and it's your param drishti nivartante, it's your higher pleasure, maybe you've even done other things, but you've realized the real shelter of Krishna consciousness, you've enjoyed on the transcendental platform, kirtan, katha, visiting the holy dhams, associating with devotees, then that's where your heart is, then you will fix on that. And that type of departure we're hankering for. Dearest Tata Nimuyanti, not fearful, knowing that we have a favorable destination. Therefore, death was not such a big thing. The sadhu would go to the forest and he would relinquish his body nonchalantly, like someone changing the clothes. He didn't ask for a lot of attention. He would just leave, knowing the body would become one of three things: stool, ashes, or dust. That's the fate of this body. We put so much emphasis, so much importance, so pampering the body so much throughout life. It almost becomes worshipable. What is it? What is the fate? In some countries, the aborigines, they throw the body to the animals and it becomes stool. Other countries, in India, they burn it at the crematorium. what is it called? Gates to Swarga?
Swagadwar.
Swagadwar in Puri, you go and you see. Everyone can see. The body becomes the ashes. And our Christian brothers and sisters, they put the body into the earth. From dust thou cometh, dust thou goeth, or something like that. What is this body? Prabhupada said, faith means to put your trust in something sublime. Sublime? This body? The whole life is working against us. It's getting old, it gets diseased, and then it perishes. What is sublime is that which is actually the life force within the body, the Atma, the soul, that's sublime. To put our faith in that which is spiritual, the Atma, or the Supreme Atma, God. So this is the art of dying. It's that sober subject matter, but this is what we have to discuss sometimes. So what will our destination be? We know what our we know what destination we want, and we've seen that in this movement, without so much endeavor, it appears that some great souls have achieved. Our God brother Jayananda Prabhu, when he left his body, he was alone in the room. All the devotees had gone to the Mangala Artik. And they came back, he'd left his body, but the Kirtan, Prabhupada's Vande Hum album was playing. So when they informed Srila Prabhupada, he said, so, you're a devotee, but if you have any amount of material desires left in your heart, it's hard to get rid of all of them in one birth. If you have any amount of material desires, you've gone to the heavenly planets where you can fulfill those desires, and from there transport yourself to the kingdom of God. That's a blessing. To be able to pursue the path of self-realization in nice surroundings. Like, when the weekend comes, we leave Detroit, and we go outside, we go to Ann Arbor, we go to the country. Adiraj Prabhu is soon going to be starting a very beautiful farming community focusing on cow protection, simple living and high thinking, just 15 minutes north of Ann Arbor. Very nice project will soon come about, and you can also participate. Wonderful project. When the weekend comes, you have some, go then go out to this Vedic village and enjoy chanting, hearing Harikatha, taking prasadam, and that as God created it. Man created the cities. God created the country. So it's in one sense, it's easier to become God conscious in that natural environment. By our past karma, we're forced to work here in the Motor City. But it's sort of an impetus, isn't it, to go back to Godhead. So, Jayananda, Prabhupada said, if you have some desires, lust, if there's still some lust, there's still some anger, something there, okay, not surprising. We've been living that life for millions and millions and millions, so it's hard to change over immediately. So if there's something, then go to Svargalok. And there, in that celestia, fulfill those desires and promote yourself to Vaikuntha. But then he said in the next sentence, but because you were hearing the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra at the moment of death, Prabhupada said, I say you've gone to Krishna Loka. And Prabhupada said he was our first saint, Jayananda. You can give him also a round of applause. Jayananda. But it's not that he's an exception to the rule. In so many traditions, there are saints, but in Krishna consciousness, we hope to have many saints. We all want to become saintly. We want to become godly. We don't want to become God. We want to become godly. By his mercy, we can. There was one Italian devotee. He left a few years ago, a big Sankirtan devotee. As he was leaving his body, there was so much anxiety in the room, and he's leaving and crying. But just as he was leaving his body, opened his mouth, he put his thumb, he gave a thumbs up like this, and then he died. So when the devotee saw him leaving his body with the thumbs up, consciously, it's okay, don't worry, I'm remembering Krishna. There was a big applause. Everyone was very happy. So. And we've had our Sridhar Swami and our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and our Tribhuvanath Prabhu, and These are the devotees who are setting the example for all of us. So we don't have to be fearful. We can be hopeful if we're prepared. You know what business is like. You have to put a lot of investment into it, and then you feel somewhat confident. I don't know in the present economic climate, but in normal times, you make an investment, and you're investing, you're conscious of it, and you're working on it. You have a sense of feeling that there's going to be some success. Of course, nothing is successful without God's grace, but like that. So similarly, we have to invest, we have to put some time aside. Prabhupada told us, as practicing Vaishnavas, 5 hours in the morning. Remember the old days? We have some old-timers here. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Indonesia. Remember, we were 5 hours from morning till night. Then after, we had Ishvapanishad class, Nectar Devotion class. We had all the... And then evening, we would come back, Adiraj, and we'd have a Bhagavad Gita class and Kirtan. Devotees often speak about the old days. We hanker for, but why are we hankering? Because there was so much time for this business of Krishna consciousness. But I'm so busy now. Do you remember when we were children? There was this slogan: "There's always room for Jello." Okay, there's always room for Sandesh. You can have a big meal, but then when they bring this, or they bring the. Shrikant in the Gujarati community. Of course, they start with the Shrikant. Anyway, there's always room so that we should, with our intelligence, understanding the science of Krishna consciousness, how the material nature is working, how God is working. Having heard all of this, we should make the investment. And we should set time aside for the... Not only when the sannyasi comes, we all come together and we hear and we chant, and but in the privacy of our homes. And then we can fulfill the motto of the Boy Scouts in a transcendental way. Be prepared. We'll be prepared, and when that untimely moment comes, because it's always untimely, even the 90-year-old person is wishing he had just one more year to live because he's... When it comes, naturally, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And if by chance, by some quirk of fate, whatever, you're a Vaishnava and you can't, you're in a comatose condition or this or that, still nothing is lost, because what you've done has been observed. Nothing goes on unobserved. What you've done has been observed by the authority and his representatives, the devotees. So it's not that you're lost. Everything has been observed. And as Ranganath told Sri Ramanujacharya, if it's such that my devotee cannot remember me, then I will remember him. What will he remember? All the loving service that you've done throughout your entire life. Hare Krishna.